Well, good morning again. So glad that you are worshiping with us this morning. Trey, where you at, Trey? I'm going to try to forgive you for the preacher joke earlier, man. Try to forgive you for that. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you have chosen to worship with us. Hope you feel Christ's love today in this place through His people and through His Holy Spirit. There is a card in the pocket in front of you with a blue stripe that says "Get Guests," and we'd love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but we'd love to know that you were here. At the end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer, and we'd love to meet you. And I've got a free gift for our guests. And also, just another reminder, if you don't have your picture for our directory, how many of you can, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to do it this morning, how many of you can name every single person in the room? Come on up. I'll get you a mic. No? How many of you wish that you knew there was at least one person that she's like, I wish I knew who that person was? Yeah, a few of us. Well, that's why we're doing the directory, so we get to know each other better. So we need to have pictures to attach to faces. So please go with the, Billy will be, right, Billy? Billy's super photographer will be out there after the service taking some pictures. Okay, turn with me if you would to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to pick it up in verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. And if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for sharing Your Word with us. We thank You for the truth of Your Word. Now, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. You are invited. You are welcome here. We ask You now, Holy Spirit, to speak to us in power and authority. Change our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you remember, some of you, if you're probably my age or older, you remember the trips that you'd take in the car growing up? And I remember is back in those days, you didn't have air conditioners in your car. Most people didn't have air conditioners. You remember, you know, you going down the highway at 55. Well, how was the speed limit back then? Was it 60, 55? What? It was 70 back in those? I couldn't remember. I wasn't driving. Were you driving, you know, Eric? Okay. I left that to my dad. Okay. So you got the windows rolled down, and I had hair back, and then my hair was blowing back. I looked good, too. And you remember behind the back seat, you had the platform, and you could take a nap up there? The kids are going, what are you people talking about? Well, I read this story about this man. He's telling, he lived in California, and he had relatives in West Texas, and he was talking about this trip that he took and how he and his little brother, how they enjoyed it, and talking about just what things we were just saying, the wind, you know, through the windows, and how it beats you half to death. Remember, you remember putting your arm out the window and doing this? Anybody else? You still do it? They've invented a thing called air conditioner now. I want to read this story that I ran across this guy telling about his vacation. I want to read the last paragraph of what he had to say. One year, he says, during our summer vacation, my youngest brother did something completely out of character for his normally compliant nature. The young ones are always compliant, right, Mom? Yeah. Despite a tight budget and strict instructions to the contrary, James, his little brother, defiantly placed the same order every time we stopped to eat. He would say, I'll have what Dad is having. Apparently, my little brother had noticed that the plate of food placed in front of our father always looked a lot more appealing than the one typically placed in front of him, which probably came off the child's menu. That was all it took. From then on, all he wanted was what our father was having. At 5 years of age, my little brother didn't know much, but he knew that anything Dad ordered would be better than what he knew to order off the kiddie menu. So I would ask you, are we eating off the kiddie menu? Because our Heavenly Father, His plate is always fuller. He can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Cheryl and I think we talked about this. I think I talked about it last week. And Cheryl and I was talking about it this past week that when we made the transition to ministry, she made a list. And it wasn't a simple list like, you know, I want a brown car or something that you could control. It was things that were out of our control. And she made a list. I don't know how many things were on the list, 10 or 15, Cheryl, probably, something like that. And after several years after that transition happened, she pulled the list out, and every single item was ticked. Every single item. And none of them we had control over. And God's plate is always fuller than ours. He always wants more. He always we're satisfied with eating off the kiddie menu when He has this great plate in front of Him that He's offering to share with us. So I conclude my sermon series today, how to recognize spiritual growth in you. How to recognize spiritual growth in you. And today's message is, you yearn for spiritual things. This past summer, I preached through Galatians. Some of y'all were here for some of those. And in Galatians 5, I'll refer back to some of that. But in Galatians 5, it speaks of this same battle that we just read about in Romans 8. And Paul, coincidentally, he was probably the author for both of those letters. So the first thing I want us to kind of, as we unpack this a little bit, the first thing I want us to talk about is we are in a battle, church. Whether it really doesn't matter if we know it or recognize it or want it to happen or whatever, we're in a battle. And everybody, if you take your fingers, you ready? Follow me. Point right here. That's where a lot of that battle is happening. We are in a battle. Let me make sure that we understand, the battle is not sin. Temptation is not sin. For us to struggle is not sin. Jesus was tempted, yes? We see that in Matthew 4 and Luke 4 that you can read about Jesus' temptation, but he was tempted, but he did not sin. So the struggle itself is not sin. It's what we do with the struggle. But we have to recognize that there is a battle going on. And I tell people this all the time when that come in and I'm talking through some different issues in their life, and I say, you have someone that wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. I mean, that's his goal in life. The enemy, the devil, he wants to take you out. He wants to take you out. He wants to take your marriage out. He wants to take your family out. He wants you to lose your job. He wants you to lose your health. He wants to discourage you. He wants to destroy you. And he has all sorts, he's slick. He has all sorts of tricks to do that. And then you also have a Savior that wants you to have abundant life. He wants to bless you. And so if we don't understand that we're in a battle, I promise you, you're going to lose. We must understand that, and so even those who are in Christ, if Christ can be tempted, if the battle can rage for him, how much more will it be for us? We think, it's like, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm immune to that. No! The battle is real for us believers. The mind, in one results, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Do you see that word mind? It's like, who's going to be in charge? The flesh or the Spirit? Who's in charge? Christians? We want to know if we're growing spiritually. Who's in charge? Who are you listening to? And I'm going to hit this quickly. I covered a lot of this ground in the summer, my summer series on Galatians, but I'm just going to hit this Romans 8 that we just passed, this read just in the past few minutes. It offers up some of the differences. The sinful nature, the flesh, is mind our own natural desires. We think about things like our personal satisfaction, the things that will satisfy us physically. I mean, we're consumed with it. Our own desires, our natural desires. Sinful nature produces death. It's hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. It cannot please God, and it does not belong to Christ. That's the, when our mind is focused there, when we give that piece of our mind control, the sinful nature, the flesh, that's the result. And notice in there, death. It produces death. The Spirit, Romans 8 tells us, the Spirit, the mind, is focused on spiritual desires. Where's Trevor? I love the story about the guy on your job site. You think that young man who was sharing the good news with that other worker, Trevor's coworker, you think his mind was on natural desires or on the Spirit? He was praising God in the Spirit for the spiritual things that God had done in his life, and it was oozing out of him. His mind in the Spirit, or the mind are on spiritual desires. The Spirit lives in you, produces peace and righteousness. I'm summarizing what Romans 8, what we just read, and it leads to not death, but life. And I'm not just talking about eternal life someday. I'm talking about life right now. Eternal life isn't something we just look forward to. Eternal life starts right now. Now, I'm going to flip back to Galatians. Again, I'm covering this quickly because I've covered it this summer. Galatians 5 says, the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. Do you see it? They're in conflict with one another. You can't, there is not a fence that you can ride. Everybody shake your head if you're hearing what I'm saying. There's not a fence you can ride in this battle. You're either controlled by this sinful nature, the flesh, or you're controlled by the Spirit. You can't ride the fence. The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with one another, so that you do not do what you want. And I've shared this story before, but briefly, I got a call a few years ago. They weren't involved in our church, but a friend of mine, and he's tempted to have an affair with this girl in his office. And he's asking me my opinion, and I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. That's what I'm thinking. You got to be kidding me. You want my opinion on this, what you should do? I'm like, well, I didn't say, what I told him was, run. Quit your job if you have to, whatever you have to do, run. Go home, love your wife, love your family, be a husband, be a father. That's what I told him. But what really was happening was, should I surrender to the sinful nature, to the flesh? Should I surrender to that? That's really what he was asking. Or should I live by the Spirit? That's really what he was asking. He didn't know it. Galatians 5 sums it up. It gives us a list. And this is not an all-inclusive list, but it gives us a list of the things that sinful nature of the flesh can lead to: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred and discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. Uh-oh, man, that's getting really meddling now. Dissensions. You ever been to a church where everybody wants it their way? I praise God for you guys. You have no idea how often I sing your praises as a church, because I don't see that happening. Factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and then it goes on to say, and the like. What Paul's saying is, I'm running out of strength here. I can't write anymore. But there's a whole lot more I could write. But then right after that, it says, so that's the sinful nature, that's the flesh. But then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, when we're operating with this, when this is in control, the fruit of that is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I mean, when we're operating in this realm, because the battle is happening. Remember, church, now the battle is happening. Whether we admit it, whether we like it, or whether we, whatever, it's happening. One or the other will be in control in our life. You see, it's the obvious choice of which one we need to be living in. Those in Galatians 5, it also says, those who live by the sinful nature. So in other words, do you hear that? So that it's not a place that you're just tempted, but you live there. You're making conscious decisions. You know what? And I take back to that other example. It's like that conscious decision. You know what? I think I'm going to keep pursuing that girl in my office. Even though I know it's over here. I know what that produces. But I think I'll just keep pursuing her. When you make that conscious decision to live in that sensual nature, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's God's word. That's not my word. It goes on to say, the one who sows, there it is again, that it's, you're sowing into this. You can sow into this nature, or you can sow into the spirit nature. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. I see it all the time. I've actually had it in my life before. We sow into this nature, it ain't going to be good. I'm just telling you. If you're dabbling over here, and it can be, our dabbling can be all sorts of things. It can be affairs. It can be pornography. It can be drinking too much alcohol. It can be gossip. It can be envy. All sorts of things. Pride. If we live into that nature, God's word says, you're going to reap destruction. It's not going to be good. But then he goes on to say, the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Man, that's good stuff. And I don't know about you, but I've tasted some of both. And the word says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And he is good. I'm just telling you, man, that there is no comparison. The fruit that comes from living and sowing into the spirit nature that God has given us produces life. So we're in a battle. Secondly, Christ sets us free. Christ sets us free. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified. We've dealt with this. We've crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And that's it. I mean, it's like this over here. It's like emotion, passions, desires, what we think we want, what the enemy kind of convinces us this would be good for us. No, it's been crucified when we're living in the Spirit. We belong to Christ. Romans 6 says it this way, for we know that our old self, sinful nature, was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So I'm going to move right into, so how do we do this? I mean, if we confess that there's this struggle and that Christ sets us free, I mean, how do we do that? And that leads me to the third point here. Keep eternal things in mind. I say it, there's different ways to say that. Press into God. I mean, just press into him. Just instead of letting your, I mean, if we press into this, I'm just telling you, that's where we're going to land. That's where we're going to end up. If we're pressing into pornography, I'm telling you, it poisons our mind, and it's going to lead to, it, at best, it's going to lead to ungodly thoughts. That's at best. But at worst, it can lead to broken marriages, broken people, all sorts of things. Keep eternal things in mind. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. Romans 8:5. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. What do you think the Spirit desires for us? I mean, it's more than just to be happy. I think he wants our life to bring him glory. I really think if people say, why'd God create us? Why are we here? It's more than just that we can just be happy and content. I mean, those are good things. But we know this world, things happen. These bodies are flawed. Relationships are flawed. Things happen. So it's more than just seeking out this happiness all the time. It's like, man, even when the doctor says it's cancer, we're still living in the Spirit. We're still able to bring God glory even through that trial. That's living in the Spirit. That's how we keep our mind on eternal things. Stephen Covey wrote a book several years ago, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. It's not really a Christian book, but it's got principles that are scriptural. And one of the things that he says in there is as we're walking through life, begin with the end in mind. Anybody ever read the book? Begin with the end in mind. In other words, what do you want your life to look like at the end? What do you, in fact, he even asked you to picture your funeral, which is kind of weird. Picture your funeral. What are people going to say about you that's not made up? What's the truth that people are going to say about you? Your family, your spouse. What are they going to say about you? I get to do, have the honor and privilege of walking in that chapter in a lot of people's lives. And there's been so many from this church that as I'm doing the service, it's like, this person walked it out. I don't have to make anything up. I wouldn't anyway, but I don't have to make anything up about their. They walked it out. Everybody saw it. They saw that they were living in the Spirit. It goes on, Scripture, just on and on, it talks about this struggle between the sinful nature and the Spirit. Colossians says it this way, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So, you know, this is a short trip between the mind and the heart. What is that, 12 inches or so? Some of you with long necks, maybe 14 inches, I don't know. But these are connected. And what God is saying is like, set your heart and your mind on things above, on me. Press into me. Because I promise you, it will pay off. And also in 2 Corinthians, it's written, take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And so, and here's the truth. Jesus was tempted with the flesh. Did you know that? I mean, he's in the desert, and first thing Satan did said, you're hungry, aren't you? It's been 40 days since you've eaten. Well, why don't you just turn these rocks into stone? And the other thing that I tell people that Satan, did you know Satan knows Scripture? The problem with his knowledge of Scripture is he perverts it and he twists it. I see it in our culture all the time. People take the Scripture and they twist it and pervert it. He tried to use the Scripture against Jesus. I'm like, man, good luck with that. But Jesus said, yeah, it says that, but let me tell you what it really says. So Jesus visited this area in temptation, but he always ended up in the Spirit. That's the model for you and I. How do we do that? We live over here. We sow into this in our lives. So if you just bow your heads with me as we close. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that you are our great defender in this battle for our minds. Help us, Father, teach us how to sow into you. Teach us how to live in the Spirit. Teach us how to do battle against the enemy. Jesus, you've shown us the way. Now teach us how to do it. Open our hearts and our minds to you. In Jesus' name, amen.